and distribution of Gamanomyces species within ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass greens. Presenting author is Matthew Tucker from Mississippi State University.
Thank you. And as Dr. Koch mentioned, I'm Aaron Tucker, and today I'll be presenting methods of identification and distribution of Gamanomyces species within ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass greens. And so the image you see here is two diseases. The disease on the left is representative of a foliar disease, large patch in ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass green, and the disease on the right is indicative of root rot diseases or Bermuda grass decline, take all root rot. fungicides can be used to recover foliar diseases within the same season, which provides beneficial for the golf course superintendent. However, once turf loss has occurred and root rot diseases, it can't be recovered within the same season. So this presents a problem to golf course superintendents. Previous literature has shown Gamanomyces graminis to be the causal agent of Bermuda grass decline and take all root rot. However, in 2015, Vines showed that a complex of ectotrophic root infecting pathogens exists, stemming from an extra species within the Gamanomyces species, a Magnaporthiopsis species, which is a separate clade from the cool season Magnaporthiopsis species, and a whole new genera in itself of Candida colonium in Candida colonium cyanodontis. So, the objectives of this study is to determine the distribution of Gamanomyces species within an ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass putting green through high accuracy GPS and qualitative polymerase chain reaction. So first and foremost, we had to set up our design using our high accuracy GPS. And so our design was set up using ArcGIS, and we set up our design using a fishnet grid overlaid over Mississippi Supreme ultra-dwarf Bermuda grass on greens 12, 2, and 8 at Mississippi State's golf course. So right here you can see an example of the images that we used for our files within ArcGIS. And on green 2, we had 86 centroids or points of interest based off 2.7-meter centers. On green 8, we had 84. And on green 12, we had 75. And these images right here are what were transferred in the form of shape files to a WGS84 geodatabase. And from there, we used a high-accuracy GPS in our Trimble GX7 unit to display our grids. And we used the high-accuracy GPS, which gave us roughly 4 to 6 inches of accuracy from our longitude and latitude of our points. We found a point of origin, as indicated on the bottom left of your screen, and we established a north-south line, finding the farthest point north from that point of origin, and we established an east-west line, finding the point farthest east from the point of origin, and we used a 2.7-meter story pole to set up the remainder of points on that green based off of our ArcGIS map. So right here you can see we used a July-summer core aerification, and we collected samples using a 2.4-square-meter sampling grid. The reason we use a 2.4-meter sampling grid is to satisfy at least 75% of our area of interest, but also to avoid overlap into adjacent areas of interest based off of orientation of our grid. So what we did was we raked our cores to the center of this grid, and we had a composite core collection from each area of interest. And I'll get into the results of our composite core collection later. And so once we had our composite cores, we had to establish what a composite core was, and that included your cores with thatch and soil material. And then from here, we had to do root extraction. And so we took our composite core, and we used a scaffold, and we sliced each individual core, removing root material and soil from thatch and leaf tissue. And then from there, we gently decompacted the soil and root material and sieved it through, as you can see in the second image, until all that was left was root material and thatch. And then from there, we took an air hose and we gently blew the remaining thatch through onto the sieve until all that was left, or until from that point we had to take tweezers and hand pick roots until all that was left was a composite root sample. And then from there, we did root health assessment using WinRhizo Pro, using color analysis to determine percent healthy roots. We used a phenol chloroform method of DNA extraction using 0.1 grams of root material targeted at both the plant and the fungal DNA. And then we used a locked nucleic acid TACMAM method of qPCR, with our NCM7 gene being our target of interest for our fungal species with our probes and primers, and the EF1-alpha gene being our gene of interest for our Mississippi Supreme Ultra Dwarf Immunograss root. Together, that would comprise a multiplex assay where all of these things can be added to one sample, and it can amplify multiple fungal species within that sample. And so right here, you have two graphs that show species specificity of our probes and primers. And so you can see on the x-axis, you have the number of cycles ran through the qPCR thermocycler, and then you have on your y-axis normalized fluorescence based off of the probes to identify these said primers. And so you can see in B, it shows gamanomyces versus the plant, and in both charts, the plant is amplified. But in B, it shows only gamanomyces graminis amplified, but not gamanomyces polygraminis, which shows our probes and primers designed for gamanomyces graminis are species-specific to graminis. And, respectively, our probes designed for gamanomyces polygraminis are species-specific to polygraminis. This also helps to contribute to our species specificity, and we did a non-target verification study using multiple fungal pathogens across the southeast. And as you can see, our probes and primers designed for our gamanomyces polygraminis only amplified gamanomyces polygraminis, and our probes and primers designed for gamanomyces graminis only amplified gamanomyces graminis. And the numbers, they represent the average number of cycles at which these pathogens were amplified. And so moving on to our results, these are our average sample weights of our composite cores for each green. And so for green 2, we had 466 grams, green 8, we had 482 grams, and green 12, we had 477 grams for our average sample weight. This is the results of our color analysis using WinRhizo Pro. You can see the control shows 85.6% healthy root material. The clean tip eagle shows 63.4% healthy root material. And it's important to note that these roots were grown within a sterile soil, so they were free of pathogen presence. And moving on to our sample 18 on green 12, it showed a 23.5% health rating based off of our root health assessment using WinRhizo Pro and color analysis. So as you can see, root health is very poor just a few months after extraction from the greens. But however, sample 18 showing 23.5% root health is our healthiest among the samples that we've gotten to so far. With our average amongst these samples coming in at around 6.99. And so you can obviously tell that root health is very poor for these samples. However, these are the results of our qPCR. And so you can see that the first 20 samples, we have our sample ID on the left, and these are all from green 12. And then we have four different pathogens present here. We have gamanomyces graminis, gamanomyces polygraminis, Magnaport theopsis species, and Candida colonia. And there's a reason for such a positive hit in the Magnaport theopsis species is because our gamanomyces graminis and gamanomyces polygraminis probes and primers are species specific and can comprise a multiplex assay. But we're working toward adding Magnaport theopsis species and Candida colonia to this assay so where we can run one sample at once instead of splitting it up into several samples to run one area of interest. But there's such a positive hit in the Magnoporthiopsis species because this area is indicative of the species or the genera as a whole, so it's not species specific. But as you can see in sample 1, sample 2, 5, and 7, you do represent a complex of ERI pathogens. So with this chart coupled with our high accuracy GPS, you can show a distribution of those pathogens across a golf course green. And you can see by your color-coded chart here, Gamanomyces graminis represented in yellow, Polygraminis in blue, Magnoporthiopsis species in orange, and Candida colonium in purple. And in samples 1, 2, 5, and 7, it represents a complex of ERI pathogens. And so currently we're doing drone flights for multispectral reflectance imagery. And this is an example of our distribution of those pathogens over a green, taking photos of NDVI. And so as you can see, your areas of blue and darker green represent a high turf reflectance using NDVI, and the areas of yellow and red represent low areas of turf reflectance or lack of turf density. And in those areas, you can see that there tends to be a presence or a higher presence of a complex of these pathogens. And so for future research, we would continue to finish all three greens and show a distribution on those greens, but for future research, we would want to use our above-ground imagery with our below-ground distribution to show, coupled with potassium and manganese deficiencies and pH levels, to show if our NDVI above ground can show a correlation to our distribution of pathogens below ground. So with that, our conclusions are that we confirmed a distribution of novel ERI pathogens amongst an ultra-dwarf Bermudagrass grain. We also confirmed that there is a presence of a complex of ERI pathogens, not just one specific pathogen. And we also helped develop methods for determining a pathogen presence, which would be beneficial to the future diagnostician working with these pathogens, and also the golf course superintendent. Because with a distribution of these pathogens within a green, you can prevent blanket applications that may cost the superintendent thousands of dollars with the pathogen not present. But if you do this, you can show that the pathogen is present, and you could possibly start spot spray applications for these rewrite diseases. So with that, I'd like to thank MAFIS and all my collaborators within this project. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yes.
Did you do any type of diligence on quantifying the effect of nematodes?
The question was, did I do any due diligence to try to quantify the effects of nematodes? The answer is no, but we do believe that the presence of these pathogens is coupled with other environmental thing. So the WinRISO Pro color analysis that I showed you shows that the root health is poor, and that could be effect of shade on the green, that could be effect of nematodes, and we believe that these pathogens coupled with environmental conditions could lead to a potential root disease outbreak. So no, to answer your question, we did not look into nematodes. However, we do believe that environmental factors play into the disease pressure caused by these root pathogens. Yes.
To follow up on that, can you comment just on your 12th green? It seemed like there was an edge effect. What were the conditions on the lower part of that green? Was it shady or was there anything that would increase?
So the question was to comment on the conditions of 12th green. Yes, the back edge of that green is a little shady. However, it could be because of presence or lack of water, but we have run fungicide trials in those areas because those are poor areas on that specific green, and there has shown turf loss in some of those areas, especially the area on the right side of the green. There has shown turf loss there. So,
all right, we actually have to move on. So, thank you, Matthew.
Thank you.